And we're absolutely delighted to be joined by the executive chairman from Tellurian, Sherif Sukki, joins me now. Great to see you as always, Sherif, and a bit of a wide question to start with, but I'd love to hear your assessment of the global energy market as it is now.
Utter confusion. We were heading towards a major crisis of not enough supply for the increasing demand on a global basis. It was interrupted by COVID. All of a sudden, somebody pushed a pause button. For 2 years, we didn't know really how difficult the COVID situation would be. The first 6 months, utter confusion. Energy consumption dramatically dropped. And nobody knew whether this COVID would last years, months, weeks. Slowly, we developed a vaccine. We started seeing that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And we started an emergence from that, and people now want to travel again, eat again, and to be entertained again, and they saved money for an 18-month period on a global basis, in spite of themselves. So now all of a sudden we're catching up. So we went pause, and now we're going accelerated.
And then adding to that, of course, we have the situation, you know, in Russia and Ukraine. I mean, how has that impacted the energy market?
So we started talking about this a week before the Ukraine invasion, you and I, when I last saw you. And then a week later, the invasion happened and everything got magnified. Because now one of the major producers of energy on a global basis has taken themselves out of the picture. So if we thought we had a problem 5 months ago, the problem is now compounded because one of the major suppliers on the global basis is now out of the market.
Now, we talk about the energy transition and everybody is talking about it, but give me the role of gas within there. I mean, I know you're convinced that this is the way forward.
I think gas is a very important component of the future demand for energy. I don't really know that we've gotten to the point where we understand what the transition is. Transition to what? And at the moment, all energy sources are in high demand, short supply, and therefore very, very tight. Cost of energy has gone up dramatically over the last 12 months across the board. It's not one energy source. It's all energy sources that have increased in price.
And again, when we look at this energy transition going wherever, as you say, we are going to go, it's really proving to be a lot more complex, I think, than people thought it was several years ago. So what do we need to be talking to the policymakers about?
I think the narrative started in the Western world, where we had the luxury of having a lot of wealth to deal with. So we use energy in a way that the rest of the world can't even think about. So yes, in Europe and in the United States, we can save energy consumption. We can do things to drive smarter cars, to turn on lights more often, to manage our energy demand. The rest of the world doesn't have the luxury of doing this. They are still in the first innings of their energy consumption where they would like to be down the road. They want to heat their homes, they want to prepare their food, they want to, in some areas, cool down, they need to build their industries. They are starting from a very, very low base. They don't have the same luxury as we have in Europe and the United States.
So is there a possibility right now of a just transition given what's happening at the moment?
There's nothing just about the transition. Every country is blessed and cursed with different advantages. So in some places, you have an abundance of wealth, and in some places, you have a shortage of almost everything. So in Africa, they're still cooking with biomass, which is very polluting and kills people with indoor pollution. In India, you have places like New Delhi where they have to send kids to back home. They can't go to school because the pollution is so intense. So there's no just. There is, you do the best you can with what you can find.
So a lot of issues out there, a lot of challenges. Where can the International Energy Forum come into this and perhaps play, you know, a more relevant role in terms of the energy market right now?
I think the most important thing is to create an unbiased discussion in terms of what is required on a long-term basis without an agenda. And unfortunately, you don't find this very often. So this is a very, very important role that the IEF can play on a global basis, combining both consumers and producers to try to find the right solutions and the right policies in order to develop a future that is a little bit more just and a little bit more affordable.
And thank you so much, Sharif Sukhi. We'll continue that conversation in many months to come. And, you know, I know you'll be doing your best along the way. Thank you again.
Thank you, Ethne.
Cautionary information about forward-looking statements. This presentation contains forward-looking statements within the meaning of U.S. federal securities laws. The words anticipate, assume, believe, budget, estimate, expect, forecast, initial, intend, may, plan, potential, project, proposed, should, will, would, and similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements herein relate to, among other things, global supply and demand issues, geopolitical matters, energy transition matters, and energy policy matters. The forward-looking statements are subject to numerous risks and uncertainties. These risks and uncertainties include the matters discussed in Item 1A of Part 1 of the Annual Report on Form 10-K of Tellurian for the fiscal year ended December 31st, 2021, and other Tellurian filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, all of which are incorporated by reference herein. The forward-looking statements in this presentation speak as of June 21st, 2022, the date it was posted. Although Tellurian may from time to time voluntarily update its prior forward-looking statements, it disclaims any commitment to do so except as required by securities laws.